Today we have a very interesting verse, a great example of faith in this passage. And I'm sure we are very familiar with the story, but if we really think about it, it always encourages us and challenges us, you know, to really go on in the faith and have a faith like this man. Let's read the passage. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried or tempted, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So in this passage, the writer is again giving the example of Abraham. And we know that this book is trying to encourage us to live by faith. To live by faith. Okay? And what is it to live by faith? To live by faith is to have evidence and substance in our walk based on what we have been told, right? Based on the good news that has been given to us. It is of faith because in this life, like just like the people in the book of Hebrews, they were going through persecution. They were being tested and tempted. And this example would be very appropriate because Abraham also was tried and tested by God. So the context here is that that faith has evidence and faith has substance. Faith is not just words. This passage is referred to also in James chapter 2 verse 20, and the reference is in Genesis. The whole story of verse by verse and what it exactly it is in Genesis chapter 22 verses 1 to 19. Okay, Genesis chapter 2 verses 1 to 19. And the context is that Abraham has been in the Ur of Chaldees, the land of Canaan, for a long time. He has had Ishmael, his first son, through Hagar. And then he has also had Isaac. Okay, Isaac is the promised son. Isaac is the is the great hope that God gave him, that I will bless you and I will multiply you. So Isaac is very important in Abraham's life, right? Then he's doing very well. Just before this passage, you know, he has a good family. He has a lot of wealth, and even the neighboring leaders recognized Abraham as someone great, as someone whom God is having favor on. So he had kind of become like a leader by now, and people recognized him. So everything was going very well for Abraham, especially because Isaac was born. So this was like he was right on course, right? Like he had all the promises of God being fulfilled in Isaac, and he was being blessed, and he was doing well. But then this commandment comes out of nowhere. You know, to him it is out of nowhere, but for us, the writer, before giving the commandment, the writer already tells us that God was going to test Abraham. Right? It's interesting that the writer tells us, but of course God did not tell him, right? God did not tell Abraham that this is a test for him. But the author, right in the first verse, he says that God was going to test Abraham. So that is the context. So the writer is trying to prove that, you know, faith will have the faith should have evidence and should have substance. And trials come and testing comes to see if we really have faith or if we are just saying, right? So trials and testing comes to check our faith, whether it is alive or whether it's dead. And that is very clear in James chapter 22 verse 20. It says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works, or faith without evidence and substance, is of no use, it's dead. So works, in James it's works, and in Hebrews 11 it's evidence and substance. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? That means Abraham gave evidence of what really he believed, of what his core belief system was, of what he really trusted. He showed that in this story and in this incident. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? So Abraham's faith was alive and it was not dead. So we should remember that this trial and testing was very important in the book, in Genesis, because that showed Abraham's faith. That brought out that Abraham really had faith. And that is the whole purpose of trials and testing in the lives of those who have the promise, who have the gospel. That is the whole purpose of trials and testing. You know, and we should remember this. And I'm sure Abraham, and we'll see that Abraham probably knew this, like God is going to test him. Because he was very serious about the promise, because he understood things, he accounted things, he reasoned. Okay, that's why he was ready. And you know, that is how those who have been given the promise, that is how they should be ready. They should remember that trials and testing are going to come. And they are for a purpose, to show that we have faith, to show that we trust in God. Okay, so the first step is God wants us to remember this. God wants us to know that when He brings us into a difficult situation, into a situation which is going to humble us, He wants us to remember that this is for our good. This is for our good. And this is a great passage in Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. That thou shalt remember. Okay. All the way, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. The remember here is the remember the training. Right? What was all the 40 years in the wilderness? It was training and testing by God. If we could summarize that. Sometimes there was no water, sometimes there was no food, sometimes there was by sight, there was no, you know, where is the promised land, right? So all these things were there. You know, and why does God want them to remember this? Because that was their training. That's when God humbled them. That means that's when God brought character in them. That's when God proved them in the wilderness whether they really believed what God had told them. And that is when He tested them if they are going to obey His commandments. So that is the things that He wants them to remember, that those were the times of training. In the desert, they were not a time of that was not wasted. So that is the reason that trials and testing comes, and this is what we should remember. So they are very important for us because they build character in us. Humility is the greatest character that God wants. Then it reveals what is in our heart. It shows God our faith. And then God brings this trial to show that whether we are not fooling with Him, right? Like God is not going to be fooled by us. He is going to bring trials and testing in our life to check what is in our heart. Not just, you know, what I'm saying, God, I love you, right? God brings this special things in our life so that we don't fool Him by our words, so that He removes out from our heart what exactly we believe. So we cannot hide what we believe. Through trials and testing, God brings them out. And then He's going to test us whether we are going to obey Him or not, you know. That is why He brought them to the wilderness. He wanted to see whether they are going to obey Him or not. Then in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 7, God will discipline all His sons. Not just few of His sons, all of His sons. Why will He discipline all of His sons? Because He's a good father. That's the whole passage. That's what the passage is saying. He's saying that earthly fathers discipline their children. How much more God will discipline His children? Of course He will. He is not a slothful father, right? He is a father who is going to be very diligent, because earthly fathers are Many of them, of course, some are not. But earthly fathers are. They train their children and they make sure that their children grow up well. Why? Because they want their children to have good character. They want their children to be ready for the world, right? So the whole point of the passage is if earthly fathers do that, how much more the righteous father will do, who is not slack, who is a good father, and who really is interested in his children's life. So that is the whole purpose of chastening and trials and testings. So we should know this. You know, if we should have this perspective of trial, otherwise we will not face them properly. Right? And that's what 1 Peter 4 verse 12 says us. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials. So what do we think of trials? That's the question we should ask ourselves, right? Like if trials and testing comes in my way, what am I going to think about it? Am I going to say that, okay, maybe I'm living a disobedient life, or you know, maybe God is judging me? Am I going to think that way? Or why is God doing this to me? That is like tempting God. You know, that is really bad, right? Why is God doing this to me? I deserve better, and you know, I'm not that bad, or whatever, all these kind of reasoning, right? Or am I going to think it's okay, this is not a strange thing. This is father training his son. This is testing. This is God wants to see if I'm going to obey him or I'm not going to obey him. So it all begins over there, I think. You know, how do I see my trials? Because that's what 1 Peter is telling us. Don't think of it as something strange. But this is the normal thing in a Christian's life. But think of it as something which is going to try and test you. As though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also. So they were faithful Christians, and they were faithful saints who had this mind. You know, they wanted God to examine them. Like they prayed and they desired that God would examine them and test them. And how would God do that, right? It would be through situations. If it would be through how God is going to bring situations in their life, how God is going to put them in certain places, and God will see if they are going to obey God or they are going to fall away and disobey God. So in Psalm 26 verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. What a bold statement, right? This man is ready. The psalmist is ready to be tested by God. Psalm 139 verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. So these are the holy desires that this saint had in his heart. He wanted God to try and test him. Because he wanted to prove that he really loves God. And he wanted to show God that he is serious, right, in what he believes. So we can take our trials that way, just like this author here is taking, as something that will help him to have good character, to prove his love for God, to prove that he loves God more than anything else. And we see that in Abraham's life. You know, Abraham proved that day that he loves God more than anyone else, right? Because it was his son. And God tells him that this is the son that you love, the only beloved son. And then God gives him a commandment. And he, by obeying that commandment, showed that, yeah, I love my son, but I love you more than my son. And I show that by my obedience. So that is how we should see our trials. That it is an opportunity to show that God will love you. But we can have two responses. One is people fall away, and we can also fall away. In Luke chapter 6 verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear the word receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation or testing fall away. So trials will test whether our faith is genuine. Whether it will separate the fake faith and the genuine faith. Because trials will test us whether we will obey God under all circumstances, or We will obey God only when it's going to benefit us in this life. And the other reason people will fall away in trials and testing, because outwardly they appear to be losing. They are being subtracted. They are being humbled. Outwardly they would look like fools or losers. Outwardly, people will call them names. You know, why are you doing that? So outwardly they are going to be demoted. They are going to lose glory. And that is the reason people fall away, mainly. Because they are being subtracted, they are being humbled. And they don't want that. So that is what trials do to us. Trials will demote us in this life. Trials by outwardly will take away glory and give shame, maybe, right? So it's going to be a subtraction, and we don't want that naturally, because we don't see, many times our first reaction, we don't see the promise clearly. We have not reasoned and accounted these things clearly, and that's why we don't want that, because no one wants to be a loser, right? We all want to have glory in this life. If you are not living by faith, of course. But the other response to trials and testing is endurance. And that's in James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation or trials and testing. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So the Lord whom he has promised the kingdom, he is going to try and test them. And their response should be endurance. And that is how Abraham did. He obeyed God. You know, that was his only concern. If you read that whole story, his only concern was obedience. And the rest, he trusted God to take care of it. Because his son said, you know, God, Father, what about this? What about that? He said, Dad, God will take care of it. So Abraham, he was totally consumed in enduring what God had commanded him. And the rest, he let it be in God's hands. In case of Abraham, of course, he was not going to die, but it could be a situation where you could lose your life. Like Paul's was, right? In Acts, he said, I'm going to Jerusalem, and those people said, no, if you go to Jerusalem, you're in trouble. But he said, I have to obey God. I have to obey God, and the rest of the things I leave on God. If he wants me to be alive, I'm fine. If I die, I die. So that's how Abraham's response was. He counted God to be faithful. What he was going to do was endure. Endure through obedience. And the rest, he left it on God to take care of. Because in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, it says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Now, that is what we need to remember in trials. That God is faithful. He will make sure that the other things apart from obedience is in His hands. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So God was faithful in Abraham's life. And that this faith, you know, God is faithful. God, Abraham showed that in verse 8. Genesis 22 verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So this is when Isaac asks, where is the sacrifice? So in trials, we need to trust God. Because the situation is not in our hands. That's why it's a trial. In Psalm 115 verse 11, you that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He is their helper and their shield. So Abraham showed this trust, and that God is going to be his helper, and God is going to make sure that things go according to his promise. Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. So sometimes things are going to be beyond our understanding, right? We will not be able to understand many things. You know, why this is happening, why that is happening. Why like this? Why God didn't do like this? Why did he do like this? All these things. But there comes a point, then we should say, you know, I trust God. He is righteous. His plan is perfect. And he knows what he's doing. Then Abraham had trust. Abraham also had fear. You know, Abraham had fear of God. That helped him to obey in a difficult situation. He feared God because he feared judgment. He didn't want to disobey God. He didn't want to reject his clear commandments. You know, and that is what we see in the end of Genesis chapter 22. God clearly says that I see that you fear me. And how did he fear? Why did he fear? He feared God because he knew that he's just a passenger in this life. He's a sojourner in this life. Everything in this life is for a season. And then it's gone. But what is going to stay is what happens when he is judged by God, right? On that day when he's evaluated. That is what was his main concern. He feared that and he wanted to make sure that when he stands on the day of judgment, he's rewarded. So, in 1 Peter 1:17, it says, "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear." So we need to have fear if we are going to obey God. And that helps us in our trials and testing. Because a lot of our trials and testing has to do with this life. Either people are persecuting us or we are afraid of people and these things. But we should be afraid more more of God. So Abraham proved that he loves God more than his son. And that was the trial and testing. And that is everything that is going to come in our life. Do we love this more than God? Do we love, you know, whatever this, I didn't get this or I didn't get that, or this happened to me or this happened to me. Do I love these things more than God? That's the test, basically. Because that's what God ended with in the end. See, in Genesis chapter 22 verse 7, "And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son." Thou hast not. That means the most important thing in his life, even that he forsook for God. Right? That is what God wanted to test, right? That is what God wants to see in our life. That is he the first? All trials and testing is that. In Abraham's case, God knew that for Abraham, Isaac is the greatest and the best thing. All the promises depend on him. And God said, I want that. You have to obey what I'm telling you. So Abraham proved that God, he loves God more than anything else in this world. And that is how everything in our life will be. All the trials and testing will be. You know, we may not be called to do this, of course, right? I mean, because for Abraham's sake, it was a little different. And we'll go more into that. Like, it was different because Isaac was the promised son. And God had clearly told him that this is the promised son. Right? And this is the way I'm going to bless you. So there were clear commandments given to him. So Abraham had evaluated that if God is true, and he is true, then he will make Isaac come to life again. He has to bring Isaac back to life again. That is what was going in his mind. He was like, oh my God, I can't believe my son is going to die. And you know, he was not panicking that way. Because it says in the next verse, he was thinking about the promises of God. He evaluated that, okay, now this is the promise. Isaac is the seed. And if God has specifically and very clearly told me that Isaac is the one through which I'm going to bless you, then he has to raise him back to life again. So see, that's the clear things that God had already revealed it to him. So God wanted to test whether he believes that or not. That Isaac is the promised seed. So that's the reason God said that offered him. So in our case, I don't think that, you know, it will be very specific. I don't know. Maybe I'm just going too far with it. But for Abraham's case, it was very clear that Isaac is the seed. And God wanted to test whether he really believes that message, that Isaac is the seed. And he did. Okay. So for us, it could be different. And it could be things that we really love. And God knows that. And God will bring situations to test whether we love him more than those things or anything that it comes. So trials and testing, that is what it tests, whether we are going to respond and obey God or whether we are going to show that God, you are second, the other things are more important to me. So obedience is everything for God. God wanted to see if Abraham is going to obey him. Okay, obedience is very important. Anything that comes between me and obedience to God has to be put second. In this case, it was Isaac, so Abraham did not think much and he was putting him second. We know that the verse in Matthew 10 verse 37, he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So Abraham did not love his son more than God. Obedience was first for him. And that is how important obedience is. Obedience cannot be stressed enough. We must obey God. Otherwise, we are despising his word. We are saying that we don't care so much for his commandments. So how did Abraham had this such great faith? It was because of the message. God had clearly told him that in Isaac your seed will be blessed. And in the last verse in 19, it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So NIV translates it differently. NIV says, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Okay, so I like the way NIV translates it. He reasoned. That means he, you know, the promises that God gave him was not simply, okay, that was a good thing, God. He thought about it. He evaluated it. That was the most important thing in his life. All decisions he made based on that. Okay, that's what it means, the reason. One author says that this word reason means a decisive and carefully reasoned act. A decisively and carefully reasoned act. So Abraham had very carefully thought about the word of God, the promises of the coming kingdom, of the resurrection, of the great hope in the land of the promise. Those things were very, very clear in his mind. He understood those things. They were not just words to him. And he knew that the promise is based on Isaac. That was very clearly told to him. So his reasoning was, God is going to raise him up from the dead. That, okay, God has asked me to offer him, but God has to raise him back from the dead because of the promise. You know, so reasoning is very important. We need to reason and understand the promises. Otherwise, we cannot live by faith. You know, Abraham could live by faith because he reasoned. He understood. He evaluated. He put things together. Like, these things are temporal. These things are going to pass away. How about Isaac? Anyway, Isaac was a miracle child, right? Like, Isaac was not supposed to be there. It was all God. So God is asking that now you need to sacrifice him. These things, of course, must have gone through his mind. That this was God. So if God can do that, he will also raise him back to the dead, from the dead. So faith will be directly proportional to my reasoning. How much I understand these things. How much I understand about the Bible. How much I understand the word of God. How much I understand the promises. I need to put things together, verse by verse. And these things has to be understood. Not just, okay, I know these things. Because without reason, I will not have faith. That's very clearly given. In 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. for all men have not faith. This is an incredible verse, if you think about it. Without reasoning, without understanding, I cannot have faith. So a fool cannot have faith. A fool is someone who has not put things together. He doesn't understand. He's very, he may be smart in many things, but he has not put things together about the future. That, you know, this world is temporal. It's passing away. There is a God. There is a creator. And there is a judge. And of course, those who are enlightened, they know so many things from the scriptures. So, the importance of understanding cannot be overemphasized. I may know things, but I sometimes don't understand. And you know, that's the reason many people don't live by faith. They have not understood. If they had clearly understood that if they live wickedly, they are in trouble, you know, they may not do that. But they don't understand. They are fools. And of course, we all have been fools many times, but we need to have understanding. That is what will help us to live by faith. In closing, his obedience was blessed. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. Thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Amazing, right? What a great blessing God gave him, because he obeyed him and showed that he loves him more than anything else. So what we do in our trials is going to be evaluated, and we will receive the blessing in the coming kingdom. And the results of our trial will not perish. Everything else is going to perish, right? Our trials don't last forever. None of the trials in this life last forever. But the results of those is going to be unperishable. That's going to last forever. In 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. So all other things will perish. But this, the trial, the outcome of our faith, they are precious than gold, and they will never perish. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So we need to consider the end of our trial. The end of our trial is blessing. Right? Without that, we will give in into the trial. Abraham had his hope in the coming kingdom, without a doubt. All those people in the book of Hebrews, they were future minded. In our trials, we have to remember that there is, the trial is going to end, and then one day God is going to reward me. In Job 23 verse 10, this is an amazing verse. For he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So he was looking for the end. He's saying, when this trial is going to be over, after God is done with me, I am going to come out as gold. So without the message of the gospel, the future, we will lack power to obey. That's how we get grace. If we want grace, we have to look to the future. We have to look for the reward that is going to come when Jesus Christ returns. Amen.